I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. And this morning we're going to look at verses 36 through 40. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. And I'm going to be reading this morning out of the New American Standard Bible. The title of our message this morning is Love God, Love Others. And all of this is based on a discussion that Jesus has with the Pharisees, and even the Sadducees were in a series of questions asking Jesus a bunch of sort of got you type questions. And so he is sort of going through and answering each one of these. And in the one that we see today, and the one we want to pay attention to, is one of the Pharisees who also was a scribe or a lawyer, as we might think of today, ask him kind of a loaded question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And of course, the law being the scriptures, the foundation of the Old Testament. Now, it's important to kind of understand that what Jesus does in his answer is he draws on something that the very foundation and the fabric of the Jewish belief system held strongly to. But then he combines it with another commandment, not a Ten Commandment, but another charge or commandment that's contained in Scripture, and he merges them together. In fact, that's one of the only times in Scripture where we actually see what we're about to read merged together. And so as we do that, if you've got your Bible open, let's turn and let's read together, starting in verse 36, chapter 22 of Matthew, and we'll read through this together. So he says in verse 36, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And then Jesus answers in 37, and he said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And he goes on to reiterate this. This is the great and foremost commandment. Now what Jesus is quoting there is what we often refer to in the Old Testament as the Shema. And the word Shema is a Hebrew word that means to listen. And this would have been founded out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. In fact, it was the morning and the evening prayer that all Jews would have prayed. And it simply began with that quote, that you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And of course, Jesus has changed the language just a tad bit, but it's still making the point in which he is trying to get the Pharisees and Sadducees to understand. And one of the things I think is important here is that they're not really looking for an answer. They're looking for him to be blasphemous, for him to say something that is incorrect. It's kind of the, as I said, the got you question. They're just asking a question to try to trip Jesus up. In fact, this whole dialogue that goes on in this segment of Matthew is just a bunch of got you questions. But embedded in the answer that Jesus gives is a great teaching for us today. So he's quoted, if you will, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And he's given that charge that we first and foremost need to love God. Then he goes on in verse 39. And this is where he merges a second commandment or charge that had never been seen connected with the charge found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Stick with me. Here's what he says. The second, he says, is like it. Now, here's where he quotes directly from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, when he says this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I want to park there for a moment. We're going to come back and talk about this a little bit more, but I want you to understand what he's saying here. He is connecting our love for God with our ability to love others. And then he even inserts in there the idea of loving our neighbors, our friends, our loved ones, those around us, our neighbors, whatever term you want to use there. We love them with the love of God because of God's love in us and our ability to love ourselves. Now that was revolutionary in the day. I mean, it really is. And maybe you're sitting there this morning thinking the same thing. I've never seen the connections in that. But it's in Scripture just as that is. And so what I want to do this morning is extract that and look at this idea of how do we love God and how do we love others? And there are three points that I'll have this morning. Now, to finish this up, let me finish reading in verse 40. And he, again, sort of reiterates the ideas that he's presented in the previous verses. He says this, On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Now, the Jews at that day would have probably argued with that because they would have understood the importance of those laws, but not merged together as Jesus did that. Now, the discussion goes on, and we're going to leave it right there, and we're going to come back, as I've said, and start talking about this question: how do we love God and love others? Now, let me sort of put this in current day situations. You and I are charged by God to love those around us, and that's born as a believer out of the love that God has for us and the love that we have for Him. But one of the things that I think we neglect most often is the ability to love ourselves. And that's what I want us to focus on this morning, is how all three of those sort of intertwine and allow us to be calibrated. That's kind of the word for the morning, is calibration. I laugh about this. Years ago, Leanne and I bought a cheap scale. And that scale, no matter what you did, you would step on it and it would measure your weight. We're not going to get into the exact numbers there, but it would measure your weight. And then when you would step off, it wouldn't return to zero. And for the longest time, I thought, well, I don't, you know, you're just going to have to adjust it. It's off 3 pounds today. Tomorrow, it may be off 5 pounds. And then I realized on the bottom of it, it had a little dial where you could calibrate it. And so you could sit there and you could turn that dial. Some of you may remember scales like this. Most of the scales today are digital, and I don't know that you can do this, but you could turn that dial, and no matter where it was in the number count, you could get it back to zero. In fact, that scale was so cheap that every single time we got on it, we would have to calibrate, or the weight was wrong. Now, I want you to think about that in your life. Maybe you're miscalibrated. Maybe you understand how to love others in some sense, but you're not loving God, and the ability to love Him is flowing in your ability to love others. Or maybe you're someone who has those two things sort of figured out, but the struggle you have is understanding that God's blessing in His presence is evident in your life, and therefore you learn to love the image of God that He's deposited in your life. And so you struggle with that because you don't see that. You have self-esteem issues and other problems in your life to where you just don't like yourself sometimes. And I don't mean to get into all the psychology of this morning, but it is an issue that plagues our world today. And it does have an impact on our walk with the Lord, as we're saying, as well as our ability to give the love that God commands us to those around us. Now, in all of that, I want you to remember this, that the gift that God has spoken of here, the gift that you and I have as believers in loving those around us with the love of the Lord, think about it this way, that is one of, if not the greatest gift that God gives believers to give to a lost world. Now, let me explain that. The love of God is what we're giving them. We're loving them through the power that God has given us and through the love that we experience in our daily walk with the Lord. And so out of that, we are able to bless the world around us, sometimes the unlovable world, and to be able to love them with the power of God. And think about what a great gift that is to the world. And that's a gift ultimately that is given to the world by Christ, by what He did on the cross and by the Heavenly Father. And now it flows down to you and I. But unfortunately today, there may be some Christians who are out of calibration. They're not calibrated properly. And so because of that, the world is not experiencing that love. Nor are we loving God with all of our hearts. Now, I know Andrew has prayed, but I want to pray for us before we open this up and look at these three truths, these three lessons, these three actions, if you will, that we need to make sure that we're taking as we learn to love God and love others. Let's pray. Father, this morning I pray. I pray for whoever's listening to this, watching this, wherever they may be right now, I pray that You would open their hearts and their minds to You. That whatever's distracting them would be put to the side, and that for just the next few minutes, they would have a hungering and a thirsting, God, for Your word. To be able, Father, to glean from it the truths that You have for them wherever they sit or are this morning. And so, Father, we first thank You, God, for Your word and the divine nature of it, that this discussion that was being made between Jesus and these opposers still has relevance for us today. But I also pray this morning for the lost person who may be listening or watching to this. Father, for them to extract out of this the assurance that God loves them, that He has a plan for them, and that out of that His image has been deposited in every single one of us, because it tells us in Genesis that we're created in the image of God. And that is not something to run from, but it's something to celebrate. And so, Father, I pray for that lost person this morning that You would open their hearts to You to finally come to terms with the need that they have in their hearts for Jesus. And then, Father, I pray for the believer this morning who may just really be thinking that they are not calibrated properly. They're struggling in their walk with You. They're struggling in seeing Your love in their life, perhaps. Or they're struggling with loving someone that You've put in their path. Could be a neighbor or somebody they work with. Could be even somebody they live with. But yet the command remains that we need to love one another. And so, Father, my prayer for them, whatever it is they're struggling with today, that You would open their hearts and their minds. Help them, Father, as we've said, to glean from these scriptures the truths, and that the power of the Holy Spirit, God, would move and work in their hearts and their minds this morning. We again are thankful for Your word. We're thankful for the opportunity, God, that we have to learn from it. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, the first point is this. If we're going to love God and love others, the first one, and these are taken exactly out of these verses of Scripture. You might think of this as a good old-fashioned exegesis. Okay, so we're just going to let the passage teach us directly this morning what we need to do in order to love God and love others. Number one is this. It tells us very clearly we need to love God first. In fact, when you look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, and the Shema, okay, the whole basis of that was that God needed to have priority in your life, that you loved Him more than you loved anything else, including yourself, including those around you, your family, your job, your career, your goals, whatever your dreams are, you put God first. That's ultimately what's being told there. And that we do that in a way that we love Him, we demonstrate that, if you will, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might, or as He says here, with our mind. That would be the intellectual part of that. In other words, the whole being of you is focused on putting God first. Now, I realize that's easy to say, but much, much more difficult to put into action. And when we begin to think about the gravity of that command and the importance of it, the whole basis of what we see in God's requirements for us, what He expects of us, what He has said as part of the purpose and plan for you, are based on us putting God first. And when we begin to mess that up and fail in doing that and put something else before God, then we begin to suffer the consequences. We said this morning, we're out of calibration. In other words, think of your life like that scale. No matter what you do, it doesn't seem to point correctly. And maybe you're frustrated and you're wondering why that's happening. It comes back to the fact that first and foremost, you're not putting God first. You're not putting Him first in your family. You're not putting Him first in your church life. You're not putting Him first in your devotional life, perhaps, in your Christian walk. I mean, I know many believers who struggle. They get focused on the doing of God's work rather than loving God, and then out of that, doing that work. See, sometimes we can get out of calibration. And so the important thing, whatever it may be that's hindering that, is to identify that and then just choose to let God's power overcome that in your life. And part of that is just waking up tomorrow and deciding, Lord, I'm going to put You first. Spending time in prayer about that, asking God to guide you in that, give you the power to be able to do that, to give you mile markers and other signs in your daily life to remind you of that. But it also comes back to just being disciplined. And being disciplined in whatever decisions you're making and things that are going on. And certainly Satan is always trying to trip you up in this. But always making that choice of, Lord, I'm going to put You first in this. I'm going to pray about this. I'm going to ask God to take charge of this. If it's someone at work that you struggle with, or a particular part of your work life, or maybe in your family, spending time praying about that. I mean, you need to think about this. Prayer is your communication with a Heavenly Father who is always ready to answer whatever call or plea or request or conversation that you need to have with Him. And so first and foremost, if we're going to love God and love others, we first have to love God. That's got to be number one. That's got to be a priority. The others begin to build on that. Now the second one is this, and this is the one I think we struggle with, because we're taught in culture for today that this is wrong, although it's an arguable point in some of our newer generations and certainly things that we see going on in our world around us today with the tensions and identifying people as being selfish. Well, ultimately, what God commands us to do, and one of the things that we find in this second part of our passage this morning, look at it in verse 39, you shall love your neighbor, and what does it say next? As yourself. So you know what that means. If you're going to love God first, you can't skip over that and then figure out how to love others. You love others out of the love that God has given you, okay, the power, but also coming to terms with loving yourself. Now, that may be the most conceited, arrogant thing you could ever imagine. Forget what culture and the world teaches you about that, and I want you to see it the way God teaches us in Scripture to see the charge to love oneself. Think about it this way. It's when we acknowledge we are created in God's image, and while we are marred by sin, we are still loved by God. And so we love ourselves, we love the creation that God has made in us, we love what God is doing through us, we love the image, the blueprint that God has set for us in that plan, and so because of that, we begin to accept what God is doing in us. Now you can't do that, and I know we use the word love here, but that's a loaded word or a loaded statement. It's really ultimately born out of coming to terms with God's image is in you. Now, you may not think that this morning. You may struggle with that and seeing that in people around you. But ultimately, we understand that we are created in God's image. And so when you begin, listen to this, to have problems with yourself, and I know we don't like to talk about these things, but the world, it's a plague in our world where people struggle with what they are and who they are and their insufficiencies and their weaknesses. And even a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the sin in your life and the consequences of that sin. Listen, God never designed you to carry all of that burden and weight on your own. But when you, I believe, surrender to Jesus Christ and make Him your Lord and Savior, you are recreated as a tool and an instrument for His work. Yes, you have always been created in His image. But now you begin to identify God's presence in you. And when you begin to say, well, I don't like myself. I'm not capable. I fail at everything. You begin ultimately, listen to this, to begin to question God. Because if God has created you and He is working in you, doesn't He then know what's going on in your life? And so I do believe this, and I don't want to simplify this, but a lot of the identity issues that people today focus and struggle with, the security issues, their self-image, those problems that we face today are born out of a misunderstanding of God's presence in your life. And as a believer, though we may still struggle with those, the ultimate answer to those problems is having a correct view of God's work in your life. And so as we grow deeper in Him, we learn to see God's image. That's not arrogant. It's not egotistical. It's not self-inflating. It's ultimately understanding that God is working in your life. And we come to terms with that and we accept that. Now, I think in the world today, we're confused by that. Because half of the world says, you don't ever need to put yourself anywhere. You don't need to love yourself. You need to humble yourself and all those things. The other half of the world is so sort of wrapped up into themselves. They're the opposite of what the other side of the world is telling us to do. In other words, it's all about themselves. And there's all about loving myself. And the problem with some in our world today is they love themselves more than they love God or even others. See what I'm saying? You can be out of sync. You can be miscalibrated. And it takes a passage like this and the knowledge of knowing that God has a bigger plan for you to sort of force you to turn that dial like I did on that scale and get you back in sync. And I pray maybe this morning that's what God is doing for you, is He's helping you to make adjustments so that you begin to get it right, that we love God first, and then we learn to love ourselves. And the image of God and what He's created in us, the talents and the gifts, and even sometimes the faults, knowing that God can overcome those things. And then that leads us ultimately then to the third point. And that third point is this, that we love others. And that's obvious. That's what we're building to. And that's really what we often focus on in this passage, is that we love our neighbor as ourselves. But we skip over that yourself part and go right to the neighbor. So you probably have this one figured out. But let me give you a few things just to think about in this. If we're going to love others, then we need to be clear that love for others ultimately is meant to be calibrated out of your love for God being first, and then you loving yourself. Then I think you have the ability to love others the way God designed you to. See, if you have a problem with yourself, and you're judgmental of yourself, and you struggle with your own identity, then you're not going to have, I believe, the capacity to love others without some of those problems coming to bear. Maybe you're judgmental of others. Maybe you struggle with others and being jealous or envious or whatever other struggle you have in that. And all of that's because you're not learning to sort of see those things through putting God first and loving Him first, loving yourself, and then out of that being able to love others. In other words, if you're tainted in your understanding of God and His love for you and your love for Him and your love for yourself, then it's going to be difficult for you to love others. And I think that's part of the problem that happens today, is that we're not bathing ourselves in God's love appropriately as Christians. And out of that, then, we're wrapped up into what the world is defining for us, and then we forget what it means to love others. Now, let me say this. Loving others, and even in that extent, loving God, is not just something that we give words to. It's not something we just say. It's seen in action. If you love God first, then you're going through your actions demonstrate that God is first in every arena of your life. If you truly love others, then that means you have security in who you are because you love yourself and God loves you. And so now you're able to begin to put action to what it means to love others, to serve them, to be able to do things for them unconditionally without anything in expectation in return. I mean, those are just examples, but the issue comes back to having a clarity of where you stand with the Lord, the love that God has given you, and the ability now to love those around us. And when you think about it, your ability to love others is tied directly with your love for God and your love for yourself. And so as we think about those things, that again is the challenge. And we talk about loving others often, so that's not a new concept for us. It's one we've preached about, talked about, you've read about, I'm sure, in your devotionals and Sunday school material and such. So that's not a mystery or a difficult one, but it is something that we need to make sure that we understand comes out of the love that we have for God, putting Him first, and then the love that we have for ourselves, and then out of that, being able to truly love others. What would the world look like if we were calibrated properly as believers, as a church, in our ability to do just the things that God has told us here? Think about how that would change the world. Think about how that would empower us to put down our biasness and our own opinions and love people the way God has commanded us to love them without any sort of reservation in our own heart. I pray that that would be for our church. I pray that would be for your life. Now, before Andrew comes back up, I do want to say this, and I'll pray in a moment, but I want to speak to those who may be tuning in this morning who are not members of our church. If you've never been to our church, perhaps you're not a member of any church, then I want to encourage you to look to our church, maybe to come visit. We're hopefully in a very short while be open back up to our in-person services. We would love to have you come and join us on a Sunday morning. If not that, then reach out to us and let us know how we can pray for you, what things that we might be able to do for you as a church. Because even though you may have never been to our church, but yet are viewing this and have been doing that faithfully, we still consider you part of our fellowship. And so we want to reach out to you and be able to help you in any way that God leads us to do that. Then I also want to speak to our members, just one very quickly, and just say that continue to pray for our church. We are very close to announcing now when we're going to open up and have our in-person services. You pray for our leaders. You pray for our church. You pray for the families that have been affected by this virus. And pray for our nation as we sort of forge ahead in these next few weeks to be able to do what we need to do in a way that honors Him and also keeps all of us safe and secure as we gather to worship. Now let me pray for you as we finish up here. Father, thank you this morning for the blessing of your presence. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for what you teach us and what we see you doing in our hearts. And I pray just that you would help us to be able to get calibrated correctly, to love you first and to learn to accept and love ourselves, and then out of that to be able to love others. And so, Father, I pray that we would be individual believers who do that, as well as a church that can do that, so that we can go and be the tools and the instruments to impact and be used by God to bring true change in a world that is in desperate need of the love of God. Father, thank you. Go with us this week. Guide us as we seek to serve you. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.